the Mac Show. Yes. Happy New Year. We're back. We've managed to tidy the studio up after some fat old bloke in here defecated and smelt the place out with farts. But we're now back. Yes, to discuss the week in Mac, we've got a fantastic panel. Starting us off, top left, it's the G. How's it going, girl?
Not bad. How about you?
All right, girl. All right, no worries. Good Christmas?
Yeah.
Get anything nice?
Well, I got to have Christmas with my mom and my brother, actually, which was very, very nice.
Cool.
We got to do that the weekend before Christmas proper. And then right after is Mr. Kelly's birthday, and so we took another little day trip to do that. So, yeah, it was fun. I got to go to Vegas. I got to go to Disneyland, and it was pretty awesome.
I saw those pictures. Well done. Good time. Next to her, it's Adam.
Hey.
What's been going on, mate?
How you
Disneyland
doing?
Compadre.
Oh, yeah,
really? We went to Disneyland together.
Oh, that's nice.
At least one day.
Mm-hmm.
So, how's life in the closet, mate?
Excellent. Excellent. I sold my house, so there's talk of building a proper studio maybe at some point, depending on how the funding works out.
Maybe at some point doesn't sound like it's imminent.
It's not. Well, I got to get off my rear and get some numbers together and build a budget and see if it's going to work.
Okay. Right out, mate. Best of luck then with that. Joining us as well for the first time officially on the Mac Show. Unbelievable that you've never been on the Mac Show, Righty.
I know. What was it, like two and a half years on BTN?
First time. I'm sorry, mate. Did we just forget to invite you? He's never been on the Mac Show. He's done the kind of keynote shows, but he's never done the Mac Show.
No, I'm a virgin breaking in.
It's Friday at 3:30, and I'd like to say he's working hard, but he's not. He's in the SU bar drinking cider.
So, I'd like to deny it, but I can't.
No, you can't, exactly. Paul Wheatley is also joining us. But we've had a slight snow flurry here in the UK, which the UK doesn't do snow particularly brilliantly because we don't usually get a lot, and it's not every year, so we don't buy all the mobile stuff to get it all sorted, and we're not snow chains and all that kind of thing, so it's not a regular thing. And he'll join us. He's got a couple of hours to drive home and stuff, so... he'll be in. Don't worry about it. Right, start us off. We had a question. We got a load of emails from people saying, great Christmas coverage. Thank you very much. Santa Claus was great. He's a pain in the ass, but yes, we did have a good time. Thank you very much. But Andrew, a.k.a. iSpaceCab on Twitter, says, hey, mate, remember me? Probably not. Got a question for you. Yosemite, is Export Mailbox not working? In the Mail app. Now, I can't answer that because I don't use Mail app. But has anyone heard that Export Mail is not working? Export Mail box.
Why would it? In what manner? In what mechanism is it not working?
Well, he's only got 140 characters, and he's asked how I am, so that's all there is.
If I right-click and say Export Mailbox on a mailbox, I can export one as far as I can tell.
Yeah, need input.
Yosemite Export Mailbox not working? ? That's all he's put.
I just exported one. Let me see.
Yeah. What was the mailbox? How many messages were in it? What was the account?
Worked for me.
Why are you asking me? I don't know.
No, there's a lot of things I want to know. So if Andrew hears this and can actually reply properly with more information, that would be good.
Oh, bitch slap him then as well. Why not? Yeah,
no,
Andrew, shit question.
I want to help, but I don't have enough information to start troubleshooting anything.
Yeah, I got
answer is it's working for us.
Right, it's working for everyone else, because Adam is everyone else. And Doc's in there, and he says, I don't use mail.app, which I don't either, because it's shit. So there we go.
No, according to the official Apple support site, it is just a case of choose mailbox, export mailbox. So they're not saying there's any problems.
There you go, mate. It's you.
Sorry. If he's having issues, one recommendation is rebuild the mailbox before you try to export it. Maybe that's part of the problem.
Particularly if it was upgraded from a previous version of mail.
So select mailbox, go under the mailbox menu, choose rebuild.
Windrider.
And wait if it's a large mailbox.
Windrider in the chat room has just exported a 95 megabyte mbox file, and he says it works fine. So that's everyone. So either tell us more information, Andrew. And that can start off next week's show with a question. or mates you. God hates you. There you go. That's the answer. The Week in Apple. What's going on? Well, so start us off then. Get this out of the way because I hate any watch stories. I don't know what it is. Why is it that I hate watch stories now?
Rumor fatigue.
It's not just rumor fatigue. It's I'm not that bothered about the watch. Now, I'm sick and tired of the fact of not knowing a great deal about it, and I'm also sick and tired of the fact that it doesn't look like it's going to do a great deal from what we are seeing. So Apple Watch companion app has been revealed. New details about the upcoming wearable. The Watch Companion app is described as housing both settings for the Apple Watch itself and settings for various Apple Watch applications. And initial watch apps will be an extension of existing iPhone apps and will be reliant entirely on the phone to actually function.
Well, it just sounds so limited because I think Apple are limiting a lot of the things that developers can do in the first iteration, aren't they?
Aren't we out of that world now, though? I mean, everyone goes on about the fact, well, yeah, but the original iPhone came out and there was only Apple's apps and you couldn't do anything else. But the market didn't expect anything else at that point.
No, but aren't they
the market
saying...
market does now.
No, but when they did, they routed around it.
But aren't they saying that there are certain things you cannot do in this first iteration of the phone, of the watch?
Such as?
Well, because they're saying it has to be kind of like viewable, glanceable information. It can't be kind of solo apps running on the watch, which is why I was so disappointed with the Apple Watch in the first place, because I think when we did the keynote, I said it's so disappointing it's like tethered to the phone, because I can take my phone out of my pocket. What would be the great thing for the Apple Watch would be that it does things independently. But for this first kind of run of it, it's all going to be tethered, and Apple aren't letting you do anything independently.
But I think it's going to... I mean, we're all sort of speculating at this point because very few people actually know any of this for sure. But the thing that I think is interesting is I sort of like the appeal of it being a little less smart of a smartwatch, only because if they do it the way they're doing CarPlay, where the display is sort of dumb and all of the brains of it are happening somewhere else, which would be your phone, that means every time you get a new phone, you've upgraded your car. And I like the idea that perhaps if they're stripping the watch down far enough to where it's really just a conduit, then that means that every time you get a new phone, you've also upgraded your watch. And I think that that's a really smart idea, if that's how it goes.
So this far after the keynote, are we kind of waiting for the day it's going to come out and going to rush out and buy it? That's the question, because I think I'm bored of waiting for it now.
Well, I'm not going to rush out, but yeah, I'm certainly not going to buy one until I get a chance to lay my hands on it, or lay it on my wrist, you know, one way or another. Like, I need to know what kind of experience that's going to be all the time. So it's important to me because this is all the wrist I have. If I was somebody who had acreage here, I probably wouldn't care, but it's actually going to matter to me because it super impacts everything I do in the whole world. So I want to know how it's going to feel.
Your watch super impacts everything you do in the whole world.
Yeah, it's on my arm. Well, let's just like when we were shopping for wedding rings and I was trying to explain to Mr. Kelly that I'm left-handed. If I wear this on my left hand, everything I do in the whole world, like, yeah, it needs to be platinum. Because, like, no gold ring is going to stand up to my lifestyle. So that's what we ended up doing. So it's just the sort of, because
Kelly, what the hell do you do with your ring? No, don't answer that.
What?
No, mate, no.
That was the most convenient dropout of Skype probably in the history of dropouts on Skype. So you'll notice I don't wear a watch now. The reason I don't wear a watch now is because I like a watch with a metal watch band, and I have bad habits, and so I tend to rest my wrists on my laptop, and having the metal against the metal was a bad scene. So I used to take my watch off every time I use my computer, and now that I use my computer all day, it seemed silly to put on a watch, go downstairs to my computer, and take off my watch. So I don't wear it anymore.
Sorry. I struggled there for a minute. Kelly's ringing her bad habits. We've got a show title already.
Well, if I had good time
Sorry.
My wrists would never hit the deck, and then it wouldn't be a problem, and I could wear my watch all day.
Yeah.
So
Doc is running to get one, apparently. It's his job to buy one, according to
him. He's one of those people who has the acreage to hold it up. He's a doc-sized human, whereas I'm a fun-sized human, and therefore it's really going to matter to me how big this sucker is.
And Bronwyn can't get one because she can't wear watches anyway. She slams them into things.
Well, with the Sapphire, that might be a mitigating factor.
I mean, I've got my Pebble, and I'm not one for the health kit particularly, so I'm not too worried about counting all the steps and stuff necessarily. Plus, I'm going to get that off my phone because I've already got that. So, I'm going to say now I've got no interest in buying whatsoever, and I'll probably want to have one within 3 months of it coming out. But I'm get fatigued. I'm fatigued.
It's rumor fatigue. We're tired of, because they announced it so far ahead of time. And normally with Apple, we don't get, the last time we got this kind of window was 8 years ago when Steve came out in January and said, I'm going to change all your lives, but you got to wait till June.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they said they did that because of all the, they released, they did the announcement early. One, to say they're doing a Watson. I guess two, because of the leaks, but it would have been better for them to come out straight away and say, we've got a watch, you can get it in 2 weeks, because...
Right, yeah.
Everybody would have known already because of the FCC filings.
Yeah, well, we all knew we were going to get bigger iPhones. We all knew that. The leaks were all there, and I'm sure that, put your hands up if you bought the bigger phone knowing it was coming.
It wasn't a whole new product in a whole new category.
Right.
So like Kelly was alluding to, they did that with the iPhone, too. The original iPhone launch was way early for the same reasons.
Well, but it was also FCC approval was the unofficially official story I heard later was that all of the paperwork was going to start coming out anyway, and so they needed to be out ahead of it. So, in this case, there's all number of speculative reasons why they announced it before they actually had any to ship. So, the fact remains,
the kill the Christmas market,
and we're all tired of hearing about it.
there's the kill the holiday market strategy for competitors too, which I think worked quite effectively.
Yeah, probably. I didn't think about that. That's true.
The one thing that is a positive on it is the fact it has got some storage on the watch. It does says the companion
app. You can have music on it or something without taking your phone with you and play music somehow.
The Apple Watch will indeed feature its own storage and the ability to play songs stored directly on the device. How are you going to hear that? Or is that the Bluetooth?
Is that new NFC pack-in headphones? I want to know.
From Beats, yeah.
Yeah, from Beats, yeah.
All right. Now I want one.
And you'll need to charge it on a nightly basis.
That one has been an issue for me, but somebody pointed out something to me that I think is a good point. They said, if the battery life was 2 days or 3 days, say, versus overnight, right? You're not getting that much extra battery life. And the problem is that there's this sort of, depending on usage, right, you're either going to get a whole 2 days or maybe you get 1.5 days. Or if it was 3 days, maybe you get 2.5 days. And with a watch, you really don't want it shutting off halfway through a day. So it's almost better if they just say it's a nightly charger. You charge it up at night, put it on the nightstand at night. You wake up in the morning, it lasts you all day, and then you do that again. And I hadn't really thought about that, but that's a valid point. And it is an issue that I've run with my Pebble. Right, you're wearing the Pebble and the battery's getting low. You'd have to be more conscious, I guess, of battery usage if it was not something that was like, hey, just charge it every day.
Right.
Which is an interesting point. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but the more I think about it, it's like, oh, yeah, that makes it a little more convenient. I know that when I put my watch on in the morning, I'm not going to have to charge it halfway through the day, or I'm not going to have to worry about it. That's becoming less of an issue for me that, hey, throw it on the nightstand at night, especially if they make a really good, simple charging solution. It sounds with the induction charging, it should be, the kind of thing where there'll be mats, there'll be little stands, whatever you need. I'm sure someone will make I bet you iHome does an alarm clock with a charging thing right on top.
Surely.
Yeah. No, I see the problem because I already get grief from my wife already where, obviously, at BTM, we're a bit of an international community, and my phone lights up every couple of hours overnight, where get notifications. And another device that does that on the nightstand, I'm getting divorced.
Well, that you don't use Do Not Disturb. I have all my Do Not Disturbs set on auto.
Oh yeah, mine are totally dialed in.
No, because I'm an insomniac, so I want something to read when I wake up. So.
Well, the other thing about it to me that doesn't seem like people are acting like it's super egregious. Except the thing to me is that you take your most people. Everything comes with an asterisk because it's not everybody. You do something with your watch at night. Most people take it off. Most people take off their watch at night and set it on the nightstand or put it in the little watch case thing. You know, if you're Doc Rock, you have your secret panel behind a painting and you open it up and you got all your watches in there. And so you do something with your watch every night. You take it off because most people don't sleep with their watch on. So if you're going to take it off and set it somewhere anyway, then when somebody does the little stand that you can put on your nightstand that you can pop on it, like the iHome that Adam's talking about, you know, somebody's going to do something like that, and then all you have to do is set it there, and then you're done. That seems like a no-brainer to me. And, you know, if you're going to take your watch off and do something with it every night anyway, why not do something with it that is useful, you know, charging? Like, just because I set my phone on my nightstand doesn't mean that it gets charged, but that would be awesome if it did. You know, that's the kind of thing that I think is really important. And, you know, it makes it seem less egregious when you really think about, like, most people aren't wearing that watch 24/7 anyway.
No, but I'm getting into a ritual now with the iPhone 6 where I'm not having to charge it every night. And that's a great thing about the iPhone 6. And I'm getting to a period where I'm not having to charge it every night. So you'll have to go back to that once a night thing. That kind of ruins the kind of cycle that I'm in now.
Yeah, but have you run into, again, kind of this thing that this guy brought up to me? It's the same sort of thing with my iPhone 6 Plus, because it'll go two and a half days, maybe more, depending upon how I'm using it, without charging. And I have hit that situation where I didn't think about it. It had been sitting on my nightstand the night before. I didn't plug it in. And then I'm out and about, and suddenly it's like, oh, it's at 20% battery life. Whoops. You know, whereas I never had that problem with my iPhone when I had to charge it every night. You know, when I was forced to charge it every night, when I woke up every morning, it was always charged. So you never reach that sort of, you know, half situation. And with a watch, it's worse because you're not going to carry your watch charger around, and you're not going to want to take your watch off in the middle of the day to charge it.
I think the thing that's for me with the having had the Pebble watch now for a little while is that my experience with the Pebble watch is what switched me off from the Apple watch. I like having the Pebble watch, and when I remember to put it on, it's fine. But more and more, I'm not putting it on through the fact that I forget, and it just sits here on the charger, and I don't miss it. I don't want it. I'm not bothered about it. So it's like, great. I was really disciplined at the start when I got the Pebble watch, and I used it and used it and used it, and I loved it, and I loved the experience of having it. But when it's not on my wrist, I don't miss it. And that's the problem, because I'm just realizing, actually, I don't miss a watch full stop. And I think there's a lot of people who buy version 1, but they won't buy version 2 because they'll realize it just sits on the nightstand regularly.
What happens when you get Apple Pay over there? And
well, maybe that'll be the game changer for me, but I can't see that there's a problem between getting my phone out and doing Apple Pay. So it's kind of crazy.
But yeah. See, there's a lot of people like me who don't have a 6 or a 6 Plus who will be able to use Apple Pay if they get the watch, because the watch will enable Apple Pay for 5,
yeah, okay. Yeah.
The 5, the 5S, and 5C. So if I can do that, like, that's part of the reason that I'm even interested in getting to go touch one before I actually buy it, is because I kind of do want to buy one, because Mr. Kelly has a 6, and I've watched him wave his phone at the thing and pay, and it's awesome, and I want to do that too, and it will be even cooler if I can one-up him. Oh, it's so cute. You have to take your phone all the way out of your pocket to pay. Boop. Done.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
But how many times do you take your phone out of your pocket every day anyway? Everyone just does it naturally. You're only just going from pocket to there to wrist to there, aren't you? It's only, what, another, I don't know, 12 inches.
I think Kelly's point's compelling. About the fact that if you've got a 5, the Apple Watch gives you the expression of expansion, if you like, of the use of it for Apple Pay and other things. But if you haven't,
right. But a lot of people, like, if you're a budget-conscious person, you probably bought a subsidized phone. So if you're Kelly and you do not have unlimited funds, dang it. you know, I bought my 5S on contract, so I have the better part of a year left on that contract. So when the Apple Watch comes out, I'll still be able to get Apple Pay without having to buy a new phone, and I can do other stuff with the watch. And then if I'm right about it being dumb enough that it will just be the conduit, then when I get my new phone, my watch will do even more stuff than it did when I had a 5S. Even better.
Mm. Anyway, enough about the sodding watch.
You didn't even want to talk about it, and here we are.
And here we are.
20 minutes later. Holy shit. Marsh Supermarkets and InMarket are launching iBeacon platforms for Apple's upcoming watch and phones. So what they're doing is they're putting up iBeacons that will connect shoppers in-store, and InMarket allows us to reach many of our shoppers through apps they love and use every day. I thought that was really quite an interesting story because, I mean, I made a comment about iBeacons last year about, you know, when you get near someone, I know you get information, but then security sessions can change and that kind of thing. But it'd be interesting to see with this how closed off you can be, where you can say, you know, take your icons, your iBeacons, and shove them up your ass. Because once you're in, you know, once you're in their kind of, once you have license to be within their store, it'd be interesting to see whether they can override that or whether there's, you know, and what kind of information they're going to start pummeling through to your device. Because it could be fantastic, you know, integration with Siri, and you pull out your phone and go, which aisle are the eggs in? The eggs are in aisle 19. And you've got that from the iBeacons information from the store would be fantastic. But if it's just, these are about to go out of date. I suggest you go and buy them, otherwise we won't let you out. I'm not so impressed anymore.
Well, that's my question is, what is it actually going to do?
It's a great idea. Could be. But it could be a great, horrific misuse.
Well, it depends who you ask, because getting to shove marketing in my face the entire time I'm in your store is a great idea to somebody. That somebody happens to not be me.
Exactly.
But they already do that when you walk into stores anyway. They design the stores for you to walk around in a certain way to advertise things to you. You know,
right.
Is everyone just going to be walking around doing that, looking at the watch or looking at the phone? That's the thing, isn't it? Just going to have people, you know, I don't know if you've been at Tesco in the UK, but Jesus Christ, you don't want that. People can't walk anyway. Can't walk in a straight line if my experience is anything to go by.
I just got this thing that it's like you put your iWatch on, and actually there's those little dots underneath aren't for charging. They're actually impulse magnets for your muscles. And as soon as you walk past something, it automatically levitates your arm, causes a muscle spasm so that you reach and grab something and put it in the basket. I didn't want that. I don't want another.
When you grab for the generic, it jerks your arm to the name brand.
Yeah, no. You go for the specialist brand, and it pulls you back to Tesco's own brand. No, you don't.
How do
want
iBeacons
it.
Work if you never go to the store?
You can see people walking around the supermarket like Dr. Strangelove, holding onto their arms, going, "No, I don't want it. I don't want it." Okay, now before I get any letters about that, I really don't think that's freaking going to happen, okay? So please don't write in thinking, you and I can't believe you said that.
You know what? You're throwing it out there and laughing like it's not a thing, but somebody's working on it somewhere.
What, the Dr. Strangelove hand app?
Yes. Someone out there thinks this is a brilliant idea and is trying to bring it to market, I guarantee you.
Batwench in the chat room says, I do wish that Ewan would give more frigging notice. Well, actually, woman, there's a calendar which you can subscribe to on the page that was corrected 2 weeks ago to say that I couldn't do it. And I've tweeted out that I can't do the show this week.
I tweeted it too 20 minutes ago or an hour.
And I tweeted out before the show. And Adam did. So,
No, I've actually just found a use for your Dr. Strangelove hand.
What's that?
No. For us blokes, sorry, Kelly, but we're obviously forced to go clothes shopping with our other half, better halves now and then. But like if I could just press a button on my phone and I'm standing inside the changing room while she's trying 10 different things on, it could put a choker hold on me and put me to sleep while I wait.
Well, it compresses the brachial plexus and that's it. You're out for 20 minutes guaranteed.
Yeah, and then she comes out and goes, you know, how do I look? And you're like, yeah, you're fine, love. Yeah, it's great, buy it.
Oh, no. Or you could put a parameter in And when she comes out and says, does my bum look big in this? It goes to an automatic thumbs up.
Yes. There you go. See? We could be rich, mate.
You could put a camera and the camera can measure. There we go.
Ask to dress ratio.
The Doctor Strangelove bitch slap hand. Thank you, Doc.
There's a show title if I ever heard one.
You don't just get her a Belfi stick?
Oh, don't.
The thing that go back to the story, because this thing is, and this is what annoys me a little bit about the modern era, is just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Just because you can count it doesn't mean you should. Just because you can view it doesn't mean you should. And they've got these eye beacons, and actually what they can do is they can absolutely 100% give you a far, far better shopping experience through the use of that eye beacon. But they won't. They'll send you some shit. They'll give you some bollocks that you don't want. And there's a bit of me's like, you know what? If Marsh Supermarkets didn't do that, and they gave us a great shopping experience, I would prefer to go and shop there. Whereas if they do the bit where it's like, oh no, eggs are over there, go and buy them because they're going out of date. Tough stuff, yeah. I'm going to go to Morrison's.
But this is the classic thing that we always deal with, right? Technology isn't changing this. Retailers have done this do this with or without the technology to enable them. So just because they have a new technology in a new way doesn't change the behavior. So we're really talking about two separate things, right? The technology is good or is there, and it can be used for good or evil. And it really comes down to implementation and customer experience and all the other classic things of marketing and selling to people and making sure that they have a good experience in your store. I mean, that's those two things need to sort of exist and be managed separately. And how you combine them is, you know, where things can go either really, really wrong or could go really right.
I think that's the key, isn't it? There's two disciplines. Help me buy what I don't know I want. Sell me shit I don't want.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the difference between the two. And I think there is a fine line. I think it's very difficult for some retailers to get that right. But some really don't give a shit.
Right. But I mean, technology, I mean, that happens regardless of technology.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Tech misapplied. Bronwyn has chimed in with the end question, the end statement for this article. Most definitely, my bit looks big in everything. Bad luck, girl. Thank you very much. So, fine comment. Siri controller HomeKit devices, while on the go, would require Apple TV as the hub. However.
Apparently so.
Now, this is quite interesting. So you can switch your lights on and off with all of your HomeKit app stuff, and you can do it while you're away or pulling up on the drive, etc., etc., but you got to have an Apple TV. Just before we start the story, has anyone had problems with their 1080p Apple TV recently not working on the Ethernet port?
No. I don't have mine hooked up on Ethernet, so...
Yeah, see, now I've had mine hooked up on Ethernet for the last year, and it's got glitchier and glitchier and glitchier, and I did a reset, and it still wouldn't work. So I unplugged it and set it up on Wi-Fi, and it runs smooth as silk. Don't know why. So I just wondered if anyone else's Ethernet port...
Sounds like a bad cable.
...crapping out. I never did that, actually. That's the stupidest thing I've ever not done. But it runs anyway on the Wi-Fi, so who gives a shit? I've just realised how... frigging stupid I am for not testing the cable. Just blame the box. It must be the frigging box. It can't be the cable because Apple makes shit.
Can't be that cable in Poundland.
Oh, man alive. I'm going to get emails over that. But keep your emails to yourself. All right? Anyway, go back to the story. Yeah, Apple TV, using HomeKit and using an Apple TV as the hub.
Doc says it's a known issue.
Oh, Doc, you saved my life. It's a known issue.
I can't hear any of you over the sound of me being right.
What? You said it was a cable.
No, about the Apple TV hub. I'm actually talking about the story.
All right, okay, sorry, go ahead, go back, be right, go on, what did you say? How were you right, Kelly?
Last summer, over at Mac Observer, I laid out an article about all the reasons that it would be really awesome for the HomeKit hub to be the Apple TV. Loads of people already have them. It's something that could probably be pushed out with a software update. It's not something that people tend to take with them. Like when you leave the house, you almost always have your phone. when you leave the house, you occasionally will have your computer. When you leave the house, you barely ever have your Apple TV with you, if ever. It stays home all the time. It's pretty stationary. If you've got it plugged into an Ethernet port, it's even more stationary because you're not going to unplug it to take it anywhere. So my layout for all of this was so that the hub would be the thing that's like the conduit to all the other stuff, so that the Nest thermostat kicks up a couple of degrees, the lights come on, and it is the thing that gets the command when you go, Siri, it's time for bed. And it's the thing that turns down the thermostat and turns off the lights and makes sure the coffee maker's set to come on at 6 tomorrow morning or whatever. That's the thing. And I said that months and months ago. And I really, really want it to be true because it should totally be a thing. And so the fact that people are saying, well, of course you're going to need an Apple TV for that, makes me right. And as we all know, the world is better when you do what I say.
Thank you for that, Kelly. We are deeply honored for your presence. I'm going to be stupid here. I thought you just said that you have to carry the Apple TV around with you, but of course you don't, because it's powered by the mains. What an idiot.
No, people don't generally take them with them places. Like, I will take my phone with me everywhere I go. I will take my computer with me to some places. I'll take it to the coffee shop, or, you know, if I'm going on a day trip or something, I might take my laptop with me for one reason or another, because I need it for something. I don't have a use for an Apple TV most of the time when I'm not home. I don't know that I've ever, the only time I ever took my Apple TV anywhere was to show it off to my mom, and then when she was interested, and I only did it to find out how interested she was in having one, and then we bought her one for Christmas. That's the only time my Apple TV ever left the house. So, you know, with other home automation hub sort of stuff, they're expensive and they're complicated, and that's the only thing they do. So you're spending a lot of money on a box that's going to sit in a closet that you never look at, that you don't actually interact with ever. So with an Apple TV that a lot of people already have, there's a known installed base, there's loads of people who have them, it tends to be below, for a purchase point, it tends to be below the spousal approval factor, you know? You can just come home with one and be like, hey, I bought an Apple TV. And, you know, for somebody who wasn't super jazzed about it, Mr. Kelly used ours long enough that when we got the Roku, he spent about 15 minutes with it, and his official review of the Roku was, why didn't we just buy another Apple TV? So for a lot of people, this is something they already have, know how to use, and to add this other functionality to the thing that they already have is going to be great. It will bring home automation people to the Apple TV, and it will bring Apple TV people to home automation. I think it's amazing.
Okay.
It's a slam dunk, in my estimation.
But, I mean, the interesting thing is that Apple said the behavior has been confirmed, but there's no confirmation that Apple are actually going to even market the Apple TV as being a requirement for the hub. So they've put it on there. They've quietly snuck the software in. They've not said anything. And they're also saying that it's unlikely that they're going to market it as a hub.
Well, keep in mind the functionality that we're aware of right now, and I'm hoping this changes, and I hope Apple does eventually market it as a hub, but the functionality that we're talking about right now is the ability to do the home automation commands from outside your home network.
Right.
So, you know, you can do it without an Apple TV if you're on the same Wi-Fi network. This just means if I am not at home and I need to issue a command to my door lock, say, to lock the door, I can do that remotely via the Apple TV as the conduit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, when we were on vacation, I was able to, because of the way we had to go through gyration to set the lights up like this, but while we were on vacation, we weren't home, but I was still able to turn on lights and turn off lights, you know, at random at different times throughout the day, so that it did seem like there were people home, even though we weren't actually here.
But you've been able to buy that socket, though, from Home Depot for years. Being cute for those of you in the
UK. Yeah, but this was a nice automated thing because it's the LED bulbs, that's why. So.
Right.
Well, right now, the Wemos I have hooked up don't do that. So.
But yeah, the key here now is you're going to have HomeKit, you're going to be able to do scenes, you're going to be able to script and link stuff together now and have that automated. And issue commands via Siri. Which is awesome.
You just want
getting rid of that folder on my phone is going to be a glorious day in Kelville.
So what we've just ascertained from Adam there is the fact that he wants his own little disco.
my own disco.
He wants a remote disco. He wants to be able to sit away from home, run a script, and piss his wife off immensely by everything flashing and get some thunderclaps going and shake the house.
You can do that by hand now.
That's what he's doing. See, he's not building a studio.
Ask
he's
me
putting
how I know.
All the money into putting rams in the basement so that he can lift the house and move it around when he's not there and scare the shit out of his wife.
Well, no, I found out. So I was here. I was sitting in the basement where the bulk of the Hue lights are, and I was working, and the lights come on, and it was like in the afternoon, like the sun was out, and I'm like, why did the lights just come on? And then they went off, and then they went blue, and then they went off. And I found out it was because Mr. Kelly was off demonstrating somewhere. Look, I can run the lights in my house. So he starts doing all this goofy stuff. And then, so I realized that had to be what was happening. And so then I texted him. So on my end, it was the lights went on and off and on and off. And then I texted him and said, cut it out. I'm trying to do stuff here. And so on the opposite end, what happened was he said, you know, the talk turned to light bulbs or, you know, whatever. And he says, yeah, of course, I can run that stuff from my house. I don't even have to be there. Watch this. And then the person he was with said, how do I know that's working? And then he got the text from me that says, cut it out. I'm trying to get work done. And he said, that's how you know it's working.
Oh, so on the way home, I could, like, turn down the lights, put Kenny G on, turn up with a bottle of champagne, and the wife knows what's going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah, you're sleeping in the spare room.
Yeah,
because she was in the middle of doing something important. She was in the middle of doing something important before you started frigging with the lights.
Never going to happen.
Stood on the cat, dropped what she was carrying. Now get your stuff and sod off into the garage.
Third degree burns, yeah.
Yeah. Apple Pay may be coming as soon as March internationally.
Ooh. Yep.
Well, you're not excited because you've already got it. Are you excited, Righty? I did expect another Brit on this show, to be honest. So,
am I excited about it? Yeah. Well, we've got where I work, typical place I work, we're using two kind of like contactless payment things already at work. We're using a thing called Squidoo, which is basically baked into our ID cards. And we've also got a thing called Droplet, which I noticed that a lot of taxi companies in this country are running. It's like, Jesus Christ, how many of these things are there? But I was talking to a barman the other day, and he was actually saying that you go to the bar, you can pay with your phone, and something happens that says you have paid, but at a certain point that the bar doesn't get confirmation 24 hours later if they've got the money. And I'm just like, how many of these things are there? Actually, you've got the bar, you've got Squidoo, you've got your contactless, and you've got this Droplet thing. But I just want to go in with my phone and do it securely. Because I find the contactless thing a bit dodgy sometimes, because you can just, it might not be your card. You go to the bar, you're out with mates, and they give you their card. You go and buy 100 quid worth of drinks, bonk the card on the thing, and it's paid the money, isn't it? Because you haven't got to have any ID or anything. So obviously having Apple Pay with a fingerprint would be actually much better.
I think the thing that I would like is, I mean, there's, we're not in the chat room saying banks out there are being cranky, they'll probably delay the setup. But my bank is one that was signed up to start off with it. So I think I'm going to get it fairly soon. But I would like it to automatically send me a receipt. So instead of just deducting from the account, I would like the retailer to link with Apple and to say, right, okay, Ewan's just bought this thing. Here's the stuff. And it would send me the full-blown receipt to my email address.
You know what I'll tell you?
Go on.
And it's awesome. What you're describing is awesome, and I love it because my American Express card does exactly that. Because I have the American Express app, and then it integrates with the Apple Pay. So the minute I pay, I get a notification from the American Express. And not only that, I can go into the passbook, into the card, and when you click on the info, it has the last five or six transactions right there, and then you can click through to the app if you want to get more, you know, a more detail. And then on top of that, once I enabled it with Apple Pay, I not only get those transactions, but if I do any other transaction with that card anywhere else, so if I use that card on Amazon, if I use the physical card someplace else, I also get a notification of that payment. So I know immediately anytime a charge has been done to that Amex card with like a push notification through the Apple Pay, through the thing in the passbook. And it's awesome.
That's
I
cool.
love it.
Yeah, no, I mean, because the thing is, I use mine. I've got a card that is work related that comes from my business account, and every time I use it or swipe it, I have to get a physical receipt and I have to make sure. And then there's no end of times I'll get home and I'll look at it and I'm like, oh, that's not the VAT receipt, that's just a deduction receipt. In which case, I can't claim the VAT back on it because I'll only get called for it if I don't. And I'd love it to be a standard that you got a VAT receipt and it would come to your email and then you just printed it out if you wanted to, or just better still, you stored it as PDF.
Yeah, and it's only the Amex that does that, unfortunately. Yeah. None of my other cards do it, and they should all be doing it. The other card companies and the banks need to take note from Amex because it makes it really convenient, because I know immediately when my card's been used. So it's also a security thing. If I were ever to lose my card or there was an invalid charge or somebody got my number, I would know. I would be notified immediately.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good stuff. That's what I want, definitely.
Yeah. With Square, there's places I use Square that use, the iPad Square POS system, and it will email me a receipt. And because I've used that same email address with that credit card in a previous transaction, then it goes, do you want me to just email it to you? And I'm like, yeah. So in that case, it's pretty convenient. It still requires, something on my end. But, that's, to me, that's a super handy thing. So it's close to what you're talking about, but it's something where I think retailers are going to have to get on it. I don't know that it's necessarily a limitation that the bank has set. I think it's just that people are used to getting a bit of paper at the end of the transaction. So,
yeah, I mean, there's no reason for Apple to delay on all of this stuff anyway. So, because the more they push it out, the more money they make.
Yeah,
plain and simple. Plain and simple. I'm actually quite. I'm actually thinking I'll enjoy Apple Pay if it comes. I think because I'll
oh, yes.
With my phone, it'll be great. It'll be in my pocket constantly. Pull it out. Done. The only thing that bothers me is and that's the trouble with Amazon, having my credit card details. I sign on to Amazon, buy some. There you go, it's coming. And we'll sit down in front of the TV and Sharon will say, we could do with thinking about getting such and such with a kid. Did you do it the other night? We're sitting watching, Ellis wants to take bananas instead of taking he buys a cookie out of the school canteen and he wants to buy a banana, he wants to take a banana instead of, because all the fruit's gone when he gets there. And I said, well, okay, well, you can put it in his bag. And she said, yeah, but it'll get damaged and bashed. Instantly pick up the air, onto Amazon, is there a banana protector with
banana
Prime
guard
on it,
yes.
Done, and put the thing down. She said, what have you just done? I said, I've just ordered him two banana protectors, one for Ellis, one for Bryony. And she's like, it was that easy. And but the thing is, it's that easy without me recognizing that I've spent money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. And I think that's the trouble with Apple Pay, is that the only downside for me may be that I may end up pulling my phone out, dabbing, and not connotating that I've actually just spent 30 quid or something like that. It is dangerous. Prime and Amazon, I hate them. And another one's PayPal. There's times I'll sit down now and I've done this. My wallet's normally on the desk with me here, and it's not. It's up in my trousers or something like that, up in the office. And I'll actually go and buy something from somewhere else because it's got PayPal, because I don't have to go up and get my wallet.
Don't I do that.
Like, yep.
Oh,
guilty.
It's not just me. Not just me, then. That's cool. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. We love them. They're absolutely awesome. There is nothing on this earth that a UK2 website wouldn't solve. If you've got any need for web stuff, so web hosting, or you want to buy a domain name, simple as that, VPS, VPN, dedicated servers, virtual servers, tons of stuff, then go and see UK2. Go through our website. I've spoken to a couple of people, and they've said, oh, yeah, my sister bought from them because of the shows. I'm like, great, did they go through the website? No, they didn't. Oh, right. Did they use the offer codes? No, they didn't. Okay, well, UK2 don't know that we sent you then. So please, please, please make sure that anyone that you push onto the system as well, tell them they've got to go to britishtechnetwork.com and click on the sponsors link and then go through there. And if they do that, they'll get the offer codes. And if they use the offer codes, they can get some fantastic deals, 20% off domain names and a whole pile of other cash savings. So, and you cannot beat the support of UK2. Every company gets it wrong once in a while, and UK2 is no different from that. But the thing is, when they do get it wrong, they move mountains to put it right, and that's the difference between them. They are really, really top hole at that. So well done, UK2. Thanks for your support and sponsorship yet again. At the moment, we will be with them for as long as BTN is running, because they love us and we love them. Write and tell them you love them. Send them a message on Twitter right now, at UK2. We love British Tech Network and we love that you support them. There you go. Right then, time for the cool thing. Kelly G, start us off.
Okay, so last week I told you guys, because we recorded on Elvis Presley's 80th birthday, whether he's still around to celebrate it or not is a matter for much debate, but it was his 80th birthday, and so an American company, State Farm Insurance, released an Elvis-themed version of the commercials that they have where the person sings the jingle and then the insurance agent instantly appears for them. And there's now an Elvis version. And there's a link in the chat room to a Dropboxed version of the video, so you don't have to worry about location restriction. So if you guys want to see it, it's in there waiting for you. And the reason that it's interesting and the reason that anybody should care about this is because my brother is one of the Elvises in the video, in the commercial. So there you go.
Excellent.
So that's my cool thing. It's just a YouTube video. If you are in the U.S., it's the State Farm commercial Magic Jingle Elvis. That's what the name of it is on YouTube, and you can check it out there. And there you go.
Excellent, Mrs. Thank you very much.
Superb. And it's a Droppler link, so go forth and view.
Okay, great. Adam, what do you have for us?
My latest game addiction that I'm going to get everybody else addicted to.
No.
Endless Frogger.
This to me.
Yes. The game is called Crossy Road. Yes, it's essentially Frogger. It's like an endless runner, but it's Frogger, right? So you are hopping across the road, trying not to get squished by cars, trying to hop on logs, trying to hop across the water, trying to not get hit by the train. And it is addictive and fun, and it has all kinds of additional characters. It's got this great sort of 3D 8-bit look to it, so I like the look of it. And you can earn coins to get little prizes out of a little virtual machine to get new characters and things like that you can play with. And they do really neat creative stuff with the characters. So there's like a Frankenstein, and when you have the Frankenstein, everything's in black and white and got film grain. When you are the vampire, you know, you turn into a bat. If you're the little grave digger, it's got a whole, you know, nighttime theme. Trying to think of some other things. You know, there's sports players and things like that, all kinds of different characters, and they sort of change it up a little bit. So it's got enough to just be interesting. It's one of those quick, you know, pull the phone out, play for a couple minutes and put it down if you can kind of games. And it was free. It does have in-app purchase. There's not too much egregious stuff in there. The one thing they'll do is they will sort of prompt you every once in a while to buy new characters for 99 cents, which is a little bit annoying. The more annoying thing, the one thing that they do that I need to warn people about that's a little annoying to me is, and you can just control this with push notifications, but every once in a while it'll send me a push notification, like reminding me to go play.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't need that. So you probably want to make sure you tell it not to send you push notifications. It's a great fun game, and you can play it plenty without spending a dime. So
you can challenge your friends, can't you? And they can see your scores.
Yeah, it has Game Center support, so that's another reason. Although, you know, be careful what you wish for, because I mentioned this on the iOS show, and Michael Johnston has taken off with the game and completely crushed my record. And I don't think I'm ever going to catch up with him. But.
Well, get Steve Naber, chairman of the London Mac User Group, because Steve has got it and he's addicted to it. And he's got a little circle of mates as well that he's met on Twitter or...
Yeah, add me. I'm MacCast on Game Center. So. What was that?
You have an incoming call from Paul Wheatley.
Oh. Just he made it.
Oh.
Say goodbye, Paul.
And your audio's not working either, dude.
Oh, bugger.
Where is he? Finish this up. My pick's Crossy Road, add MacCast on Game Center, and
there we go.
I have you on Game Center, right, Adam? Because we play Quiz Up.
Yes, I think so. Is that Game Center?
Yeah.
Here he is. He's in. Hello, Paul. No, we've still got no audio from you. You can carry on. Don't worry. We're doing the cool things anyway. So it's a good pick, Adam. It's Righty's turn.
Well, this may say like a really weird thing to pick this late on in the day, but my cool thing for this week is Siri. And I'll tell you why. Because obviously after the Bass issue, you know my old Nan quite well.
Mm-hmm.
But she's registered blind. She's got a blind dog, a guide dog. Not a blind dog, because that'd be rubbish. But she's always said to me, because she's tried these kind of, you know, limited vision phones and all this sort of stuff, she doesn't get used to it. And she's always like, you're always talking to your phone. Do you think I could do that? And I thought, well, no, Siri's going to be no good for that, broad Norfolk accent and all that sort of thing. But we've got her a 4S, and she can talk to the absolutely fine. And this changed her life. But what really gets me is, one, Siri, because... One, it tells her who's calling, and she can say, or call Paul or anything like that. But just the accessibility options under iOS, just absolutely amazing for visually impaired. I was just so surprised how brilliant they were.
I limited
the home screen for her and all that sort of thing. But she gets on with that much better than she did any phone that was actually kind of designed to be for visually impaired people.
No, I went, we got a few blind listeners to the, hello mate, we've got a few blind listeners who listen to the network, and I went for a beer with Darren Westlake, and I was down in Taunton. I sent him a text this morning, actually, a tweet this morning, and he's blind, and he showed me some of the accessibility stuff that there is in iPhone, in the OS, and it is streets ahead, absolutely streets ahead.
Yeah, I was really worried with Siri and all that on the accessibility that she wouldn't pick it up, but it's so intuitive. She picks it up like almost immediately, like within a couple of minutes of, you know, just learning how to speak into the phone, holding down the home button, all that sort of thing. She was away, and she's absolutely blown away by it. And probably for her, it will actually change her life. So just for that, I know it's obviously an old thing, but obviously I'd never delved into that. So that for me is a pretty cool thing.
Can I ask a question related to this? Because this, I've been thinking of this lately. Is there a way to pick up a phone call using Siri or using voice on the iPhone? Does anybody know?
Not that I know.
Can you do it with Hey Siri when it's plugged in? I haven't tried it.
I don't know either.
You can do anything while it's ringing, can you?
Well, it just automatically answers when you put it to your ear. So I know it's not answering your question, but it means that you don't have to touch it.
No, I'm thinking this is more like we'll get a phone call in the car, and I use hands-free. I use the speaker in the car, but I still have to interact with the phone. Like, I want to be able to not have to touch the phone, but you still have to slide to unlock, and I still have to tap the speaker button. And it'd be great if there was a way. And I didn't know if there was a way, maybe through the accessibility features. I haven't done the research yet. It just was something I thought about recently because this was kind of coming up because I do use the speakerphone in the car occasionally. And there's a cut. You have to do just a couple things. You got to slide to answer the phone, and you got to tap the, you know, to put it in speaker. And it'd be great if I didn't have to do that. If anybody knows, send me an email, mattcast@gmail.com.
There's an Apple forum post around answering calls if you're blind. Can Siri help?
Yep.
And apparently, the only suggestion really is if you double tap with two fingers anywhere on the screen, which doesn't really fix your problem, but at least you're not aiming at something on the screen when you're driving.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know if you have Siri eyes free in your car, like Doc is alluding to, bastard, then you can do it. But I don't have those kinds of conveniences in my lovely BMW because I have a 2001 Subaru. That's paid for, though.
Doc has a Subaru.
I have no doubt. Paul, you're dead quiet, mate.
That's the first thing somebody's ever said that to me. Is that any better?
No.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
Is that better?
I can hear him fine.
Yeah, sounds good.
No, the chat room's saying he's quiet, and I know he's quiet.
Sorry.
Just say something, Paul.
If you were at the end of the show, there's no point in fixing it now. I may actually be on the microphone. Talk amongst yourselves. It's fine.
Yeah, no, that's good audio, this.
Let's talk about PDF Pen.
Why? No. Do you want to do a cool thing, Paul?
Yes, I've got a cool thing, yeah.
If you want, if you've got any other opinions you want to express about any stories we covered this week, then do them now.
Well, I have no idea what you covered. No idea.
No, okay, that's it then. Fair enough.
I'm assuming the sort of the biggest story will be covered in the big show later on. So. David Cameron's opinions.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not Apple.
Yeah, exactly. All so twat. My pick is... it's an old game. I probably mentioned it as a cool pick a couple of years ago, but I've just gotten back into it. It's a game called Strategery, and it's sort of like a really basic version of Risk on your iPhone. I'm just going to start up a game here so you can basically see. So the idea is you've got, and I'll hold this up to the camera. There, you see that very well there. You've got map, you have armies, which are the little dots on the screen there. And you, so for example, you're the blue color. You then tap on your country and tap on the country next to it, and it's sort of dice rolls. You don't actually see the dice rolls, but you can see the little discs kind of turn over to show 1 to 6. And then if you beat the score in the other country, you basically take over that country. It's just a fun little kind of basic risk style game that I really enjoy. I really like Risk as well, but. I've never really found a really good version of Risk on the iPhone, but this is quite cool for quite a simple little one. It's called Strategery. There's a light version because it's from back in the days when we used to have regularly every app came with a light version. I'm not actually sure what the paid version is. A wild guess, I'd say $1.99, but that might be incorrect. I can check that though. But I just downloaded it back on my phone this week, and it's superb. It's a great little game.
Excellent, mate. You like Risk.
So the official Risk game on the iPad stinks?
It was years ago I played it, so I may have gotten better. I played it on the iPad 1, and I've never tried it since then. I was just kind of put off it a little bit.
The other thing is, have you heard of Risk Legacy?
Risk Legacy? No, I haven't.
What? Mm-hmm. there's a new series of... I'm into board games, so real quick. Yeah. There's a new series of board games. They're being called Legacy, and basically you buy the board game, and then you make permanent additions and changes to the game. So like when you play, if you're the winner, for example, you get to sign the game board in a certain area. Also if you do certain actions or achieve certain goals, you get to swap out cards or change rules. Or so the game evolves over time as you play with your friends and family, and it becomes a different game, and it's like an heirloom kind of thing. So permanently it becomes changed. It's an interesting concept, but anyway, it's supposed to be awesome.
Yeah.
If you're into Risk, you might check out Risk Legacy.
Definitely have to look at that. Have you? If you're into board games, I just played an awesome board game over Christmas time. Have you ever played Ticket to Ride?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. I've never played it before. I'd never even heard of it. And I just played it over Christmas time. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Great game. It was the American version, so I learned a little bit about American geography while I was doing it, so it was fun.
Excellent.
Well, while we're on board games, there's a company called Cheap Ass Games, and I love them because they're like, if you already have a few board games, you already have a bunch of markers, you know, to move around a board, and you already have dice, and you already have a deck of cards, so they just sell you like a game board and rules.
Cool.
And the game board is like, usually it's like a tag board, we call it cardstock, so it comes in a little envelope, and they're in Seattle. So I don't know what shipping would be to the UK, but it's just, you know, like an envelope in the mail. It's not like a special thing. And then you get it, and then you can play all these games, and they have some that are super, super fun, and they're cheap. They're cheap-ass games. It's right in the title. They're awesome. I really like it. So you should definitely check them out if you're, because everybody has, you know, a couple of board games with markers and dice and whatever, and then this allows you to use the stuff you already have and not have to buy it over again. It's awesome.
That is pretty cool. And there's a game called Unexploded Cow Deluxe Pass.
Yes. Unexploded Cow is so fun. It shouldn't be. Totally is. The one that I play a lot because it's a deck of cards I can drop in my backpack is Big Idea. So you get all these cards and you sort of have to lay them out and pitch the company that makes, you know, solar-powered chickens or, you know, whatever. It's really funny. So that's a good one.
Cool. My cool thing, I don't get to play the guitar a lot because people who know my office know that wall hanging space and space in general is at a premium. So there's not really any place to put guitars in here. And I have some very nice guitars, but they're all up in the loft because I've got nowhere to put them. For Christmas, I got a parlor guitar. So a parlor guitar is basically a guitar, standard neck, standard fretboard, but the body is that of about a high size guitar. So it's tiny in comparison to everything else that you can use. And they've got lovely, lovely tone. Absolutely gorgeous.
So what's the difference between a parlor guitar and a regular guitar? You've not showed up in the live stream yet, so it might be obvious.
Size of the body. So if I hold that next to me, there we go. That's the total size of the body.
I'm not seeing it yet. We're still on a four-way split on my live stream.
Well, you're in Scotland and you've had snow. So.
That was it. Oh, there it is.
But there you go. It's a tiny, tiny guitar. But it's got a full-length neck. Yeah, there you go.
I still don't see it yet. Hold on.
Lovely.
It's a lovely thing, and it's got absolutely gorgeous, fantastic tone.
It sounds lovely.
There you go.
Ah, here we go. Right, okay, I see it now. Right.
Oh, Jesus Christ, wait.
He's way delayed.
Doc wants to play Stay With Home. Bollocks. I'll play you something else afterwards when we're finished. Anyway, so my cool thing is, because I don't have guitars around, and I used to have like a little electronic tuner that you could plug in or that had an acoustic thing, and it was there or thereabouts, but it was never right. I've got this from my iPhone 6. It's called Guitar Tuner, tuner spelt T-U-N-A. And it's basically, the basic app which tunes a guitar is free, and that's it. And it's dead accurate. What's really nice about it is when you start playing a string, it automatically knows which string you're trying to tune.
Yeah, cool.
So you start tuning them up, and you just keep turning. And as soon as it knows which string it is, it shows it up, and it tunes it up, and that's it. And you go through all of them. As long as the other strings are silent, it's absolutely fine.
Cool.
And, so you can go all through six of them, and it's automatic, and it gives you a basic guitar tuner, and that's it. And with that, you get a list of chords as well. So you can look up a chord, and it'll show you the fingering for all the chords and the frets and that kind of stuff. But what's also kind of cool is the fact that you can buy other stuff that comes with it. So there's little games that will help you improve your playing and that kind of thing. The total, it's free to get the basics, but the total in-app purchases only come to £8. And there's tons and tons and tons of stuff you can do with it. Loads and loads and loads of stuff. So it's superb. And you can do an automatic or a manual tuning mode. So you can actually hit the string that you want to tune, and it will just stay on that string and not move off until you get back and choose it onto a different one. But it's absolutely great, dead easy. And because it's on your iPhone, you're sitting there, you got the guitar out, just pop it up, set it on, and it goes. It's great. And my little guitar is something that I can put in here now, and it doesn't get in the way.
Fantastic.
It is. Buy a parlor guitar. They're lovely. Absolutely lovely.
Adam, just before we move on, do you still wear your Pebble watch?
Yep.
Yeah, could that not answer your phone then in your car? I know it's, again, not fully solving your problem. But.
That's funny you mentioned that, because that's what I did use. Then it takes me down to one tap, which is just to get it into the speaker mode on the phone.
It's
half the problem is I used to have a stand for my iPhone. I need to get the little tool to resize it for my iPhone 6 Plus because it doesn't fit. So my phone is in my pocket more frequently now. And I don't want to have to, I won't, while I'm driving, reach into my pocket to pull out my phone to answer a call and get it into the, sure. So this is why this came up recently.
I thought it was just the answering of the phone.
Yeah. It is just yeah. Well, I got to put it into speaker mode too.
Sure.
So I seem to remember there's something you can do, and I don't remember if it's through accessibility. I got to do the research. I think there's a way to manage this.
Kelly's had an idea.
No, I was reading because I yelled Freebird at Ewan, and there's a song by this local band that I adore called the Double Clicks, and their song is The Guy Who Yelled Freebird. And yep. It song. Made the funny 25 on Dr. Demento for all of 2014. So, and the chorus is like, Freebird, Freebird, nobody wants to hear Freebird. And it's hilarious. So. It's about how there's always the guy at the show who thinks he's funny and yells Freebird at someone. And anyway, so yeah, the Double Clicks, the guy who yelled Freebird. There you go.
Thank you very much. Where can we get a hold of you, Kelly G?
Are we finished?
Well, dude, you weren't here.
Did you think we started with cool things this week, Paul?
Stick around for the big show instead, dude.
Yeah, we're almost there. You can find me over at MacObserver.com writing things. You can also hear me on the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast. you can check out the after show with Mike and Kelly, which I do with Mike Rose. And you can hear me elsewhere here. If you just want to, if you're watching live and you just want to hang out, you'll see me on the big show in a little bit. You can also find me coordinating the social media accounts for Smile Software as of last week.
Ah, well done.
And I'm currently looking at a way that I will get to write things for Mac Life magazine. So things are looking up for Kelly in 2015.
Excellent. Good stuff. Well done, Mike. Adam, where are you, sir?
Over at the MacCast and MacCast on Twitter. Also on the iOS show with Jeff Gamet and Michael Johnston. So you can find that at theiosshow.com. And yeah, that's it.
Where are you, Mr. Wright?
Well, normally here on the big show, at Paulum's on Twitter, and always BritStepNetwork.com.
And last but by no means least, Mr. Wheatley, where are you, sir?
Do you want me to, like, leave a long enough pause as the kind of makes up for me not being in the show? Just kind of...
yeah, go for it.
My information as well. And it doesn't matter. That was a better joke in my head. I'm sorry about that. I'm Paul Wheatley on Twitter. You could find me on The Gamer Show, The Pocket Show, both of which have to restart from Christmas time. There's been a lot going on just now. And occasionally on The Big Show and on The Mac Show occasionally as well. And that's me.
Excellent, mate. Well done. Well done on editing The Gamer Show quiz as well. Sorry. I didn't do such... There was a lot of, apart from the swearing that was inherent anyway, I didn't particularly help, I suppose, with the video switching, so.
Oh, you noticed that? Yeah,
okay. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you actually, I think you swore more than everybody else combined as well, so it was mainly your swearing that I was bleeping.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should get it. Never mind.
It took 4.5 hours to edit and publish that.
Oh, I feel thing. Sorry now.
My goodness.
I do apologise.
It was all good fun, though. All good fun.
At the moment, we're back again next week on Friday. But don't hold your breath, okay? My work state is fluctuating heavily at the moment, so we'll be around. We'll do a show sometime, somehow, somewhere, with someone sitting here. Doc wants to host it, he says, next week, which may or may not come about. It possibly will, so it might be Google Plus host with Doc. That'd be cool. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week with the back show. And we've got the big show coming up in 27 minutes. See you then.